بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله: الله الله في فضة. Lady Fadda, or Bibi Fizza, is without a doubt one of the greatest ladies in the history of the religion of Islam, and indeed in the history of humanity. Indeed, if ever you wanted to see the embodiment of knowledge, wisdom, sacrifice, as well as bravery, then look no further than this outstanding personality. Without a doubt, when a person has been blessed in the way that she was blessed, and guided in the way that she was guided, and became a guide in the way that she became a guide, then there is a need to examine and dissect her biography in depth. Because this was a lady who was able to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, and was able to sit with Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, and was able to be alongside Imam Ali alayhi salam, and witness the most difficult moments for Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, and be there alongside Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and meet Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, and see the young Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and be a pillar of strength alongside Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam and the rest of the ladies who were held as prisoners and captives in this period. Indeed, it was those ladies who ensured that the message, the pure message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, reached us in the way that it reached us today. Because after Karbala, the likes of Lady Fadda and the likes of Sayyida Zainab and others who were present through Kufa and Sham, managed to ensure that at different moments they supported one another. They supported one another in the most difficult trials and tribulations that they faced. And that's why it's not surprising when you find that many historians and many poets will always mention Fadda as a backbone to the members of the holy household. You'll find that young children, for example, such as Sukaina, the daughter of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and others would actually go and sit next to Fadda, for they had seen her as a great auntie in the household. In the same way that a lady, for example, from your family members has always been around the house and you see her like a mother figure, that's the way they viewed this lady. And at the same time, they didn't look at the color of her skin as, for example, an impediment or as a barrier in terms of the special lofty status that she achieved. Because when we look at the origin of this lady, whether you go with the traditions that talk of her African descent, where some will, for example, state that she is Fadda and Nubia, that she comes, for example, from Sudan or from modern-day Egypt, or her being from Indian descent, you notice that the Holy Household in no way look at her race or look at her color. Rather, they look at the God consciousness, the taqwa that this lady had. But this lady wasn't just a lady of taqwa. This lady was a lady of ilm and a lady of hikmah. On the first level, when you're hanging around Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, and you're a student of Fatima and a student of Ali, and you're around Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, then no doubt you become one of the scholars of the scholars of the religion of Islam. Many times we talk about the male scholars in Islamic history. We talk of the ilm of Salman or the ilm of Abu Dhar or the ilm of Hisham or the ilm of Zurara. But how many times do we mention the female scholars in Islamic history? Do we ever talk about female religious tradition or female religious scholarship? Unfortunately, that's an area which many have not tapped into. Can a person logically conclude that a lady who is virtually living most of her life in the holy household would not be someone who is able to talk using the Quran, explain using the Quran, be able to narrate to you some of the most famous incidents? For she was present at some of the most important moments in Islamic history. The first 60 odd years of the history of the religion of Islam, she saw everything that took place. Therefore, for us, Bibi Fadla is not just a servant of the house, even though that is one of the greatest honors you can ever have, but that she is also an alima. She is a lady who is able to talk using the Quran, narrate using the Quran, give tafsir of the Holy Quran. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi says, Allah, Allah, fi fidda, he is saying that how glorious and how praiseworthy is this fidda. Don't just look at her as a servant. Many times when you ask people, tell me about Bibi Fizza, what will they say to you? That she is one of the servants of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Ask them, but this lady is just a servant? This lady surely would have studied under Fatima, surely would have learnt from Fatima, and then becomes a role model for our sons and daughters. Because the second point that is fundamental to mention is that just because I'm speaking about one of the ladies of Sham, one of the ladies who saw Kufa, one of the ladies in Karbala, doesn't mean she's only a role model for the ladies. Yes, we do need and we can relate sometimes to those of the same gender as us. But at the same time, for every male, she becomes a role model. A role model in terms of sacrifice, a role model in terms of submission to Al-Muhammad salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. You read the lines, Inni silmun liman salamakum wa harabun liman harabakum. I am at peace with whoever you are at peace with. And I'm at war with whoever you are at war with. If you want to see the embodiment of that, then it's Lady Fadla alayhi salam. And that's why the sadness of all sadnesses is that there isn't much literature on this lady. Whether from the time of, for example, the Umayyads, who obviously wouldn't give much time towards those who were alongside Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, even until today, sadly, there aren't many biographies on Lady Fadla alayhi salam. You are hard-pressed to go to any bookshop and find a whole biography of this great lady. How could a lady who has been alongside seven of the ma'sumeen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam al-Hassan, Imam al-Hussein, Imam Zain al-Abidin, and Imam al-Baqir, how many people can claim that they sat with seven of the ma'sumeen of the prophetic household? Yet you found that sadly, there are many out there. The basic conclusion they reach is, yes, she was one of the servants of Bibi Fatima, and that later on, she was of the prisoners of Kufa and Sham. These aren't just prisoners, nor are they just servants. They are the embodiment of servitude. There is servant and there is complete servitude. For in service to Ahlul Bayt, they become complete in their service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, tonight, let's look at the life of this great lady and the different incidents which affected her. Some which are well known, others which unfortunately are not. And I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, how did she reach the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi? Number two, when did she enter the house of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? And how did she in this house see incidents like Kisa and the incident of Hal Atta? Number three, who was she when it came to the martyrdom of Fatima? And so when Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam says, Ya Fadda Adrikini, Ya Fadda Asnadini, how great is the statement from Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Number four, how did Imam Ali alayhi salam help her get married? And how did Imam insist that she remained with the holy household? And how did Ibn Muljam strike on Imam Ali's head affect her to the extent that she raised a spear wanting to kill him that day? Number five, how did she stay with Imam al-Hassan and with Imam al-Hussein? And how did she highlight that from Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, she had not just memorized the Quran, she began to only answer using the Quran? And which incident? Number six, how does she highlight that if you hold on to the Quran and your children see you have an attachment, then even your grandchildren have that attachment and grow to become amongst the most pious? Number seven, if I have a mannat, should I use her name in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a particular nadhar? And which of the scholars mentions this in relation to his own daughter? And finally, how was her stand in Karbala and Kufa and Sham? And how did she remain alongside Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam throughout her life? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. If you look at the biographers who say that Fadda was from Nuba, from the Sudan area, then this would give us an indication that around that time, there was a rise of people who had come towards the religion of Islam. The Sadaqa Jariyah goes to Ja'far al-Tayyar, brother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because Ja'far al-Tayyar, when him and his wife Asma, the daughter of Umays, had gone towards Abyssinia, they had given the best image of the religion of Islam. You see, when a person goes and does tabligh or does da'wah, they can either give the best image of the religion or they can leave a blemish on the image of the religion. There are some, when they go to talk about the religion of Islam, all they want to do is put people in hell. There are others who want to show you the doors of mercy. You find that there are some, all they want to do is judge. There are others who want to tell you that only the Lord can judge. When Ja'far al-Tayyar alayhi salam went towards Abyssinia, there was a movement for Muslims to come towards Islam, for people to convert towards the religion. Not only were the Muslims who were in Abyssinia, because of him who had converted, becoming better Muslims, but there were non-Muslims who were appreciating either Ja'far al-Tayyar or appreciating Najashi, or the emperor of that area. Some of these would go towards where? Would go towards Medina eventually. When they went towards Medina, you found that Fadda found her home. Look how Allah guides in mysterious ways. وَمَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُضِلٍ. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, then none of you can misguide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that this lady, who some traditions mention was the daughter of a prince or a king of India, others mention no, she was one of the servants who had gone towards Medina to find pastures new, she entered the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, of course, is not just going to bring anyone into the house. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, will only bring the purest of the pure. Only those who he knows, on the first level, their heart is pure. On the second level, they have a physical cleanliness about them. And on the third level, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was saying, colored lives matter. Sometimes when we see black lives matter, you find that from the very origin, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi had made it clear that Bilal is the muezzin, colored lives matter. That this fidda will be in my house and treated like anybody else, colored lives matter. It doesn't matter if you've come from India or you've come from Africa. What matters is what? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your consciousness of his presence. As in an Arab who has arrogance and no presence of God in their life, are they really higher than someone who is colored and has Allah as part and parcel of their life? Every move they make, they do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When today we see Black Lives Matter, our Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, had stressed years ago, over 1,000 years ago, that you want to see what the meaning of Black Lives Matter is? It's not just a slogan, nor just a banner. But rather, that is something you must implement. If you're going to have servants who come from a different background to you, whether it's on a class level, whether it's on a race level, never act arrogant with them. because I would never act arrogant with those in my house. Fidda, while in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never once talks of the fact that he said, I'm a prophet, who are you? I'm the greatest leader, who are you? I'm chosen by Allah, who are you? Sometimes when we have servants in our house, there may be that hint that these are always going to remain slave. We're used to seeing them as slaves. We can't change our mentality. As in, if a person grew up seeing that a particular group of people were their servants, very difficult for them to then look at them as equals. If I've grown up, for example, in the Middle East, and I've had Filipino servants, I cannot ever imagine talking to the Filipino on the same level. Because in my mindset, the Filipino is my maid, for example, in the Emirates, my maid in Kuwait. I cannot see her as an equal. If I grew up in Africa and I've seen members of the Black African community as my servants, I find it difficult for me to then look at them as rising higher than me. It can affect us. Not all. There are some it doesn't affect. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam once came to him. She had given birth to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. And she came and said to him that I would like a servant to help me with the household duties. The first time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said to her something, he said, I'll give you something better than a servant. What did he give her? The tasbih that we all recite. The tasbihat of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. That tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was after she had asked him to find her a servant for the house. The Prophet said, I'll give you something better, meaning that I'll give you an act which will be an act which will bring you such strength spiritually, physically, that it will compensate for having someone in the house. Recite Subhanallah 33 times, recite Alhamdulillah 33 times, recite Allahu Akbar 34 times. And I tell you, this is one of the biggest blessings we have. As in, believe you me, if you can just spend 30, 40, 50 seconds after you finished your salah, just stay sitting. Don't even go down in sujood and do shukran lillah. Don't even take a right and a left and shake people's hands. Don't do any of these. Straight away, as soon as you've said Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar three times, straight away begin the tasbih. Why? Because that will prevent you from ever seeing the fire of hell. How many traditions we have from our imams that gift Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi gave to Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was the greatest gift you could ever have. A gift which replaced any servant that was needed for that time. You find therefore that was when Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam was born. When Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was born, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi then gifted her who? Allah, Allah fi fidda. He gifted her the glorious Fidda alayhi salam. He said that she will be in your house. She will be a servant in the way that she served me. She will serve you in her house. Do you think Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam would lock Fidda in a small room somewhere random in the house, or look down at her, or tell her don't ever look at us, or tell her don't ever sit with us, or you cannot eat what we eat? On the contrary, Fidda would always reminisce about her years with Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Because you know, when a lady, for example, has just had a son, now has a second son, two children, to enter at that time, you may find that this person is going through many difficulties, trials. Her father is returning from battles like Badr and Uhud. Her husband is returning with injuries all over his body. It could affect her psychologically, and she could take it out on the servant. Does she ever take it out on her? Never does she take it out. On the contrary, she doesn't take it out once on the servant. Rather, she makes it clear to her, Fadda, you are part of our family. You are part of our growth. Fadda, there'll be a day I cook, another day you cook. A day I clean, another day you clean. Have you ever seen someone who's the daughter of a person who's the highest in that area talk like this? Believe you me, you could see some who are daughters of kings. They'll make their servant carry 20 bags and they'll walk and they're on the airports talking. You only have to go to Knightsbridge or Fifth Avenue to see such scenes. But what you find with Fidda alayhi salam is that she looks at Fatima al-Zahra. On the contrary, whenever Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam would want to have a certain moment where she wants to open up to her Lord, she tells Fidda, join us. How many of you know? You all know very well the young Hassan and the young Hussein alayhim as-salam, when they were feeling unwell, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi saw Fatima al-Zahra, he saw Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he said to them, what is it? They said, they're feeling unwell. He said, then do a mannat, do a nidhr. And unfortunately, many do not do these things. Another, make a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe I have someone unwell in the family. Maybe there's a marriage issue in the family, a domestic in the family. Ya Allah, if it gets resolved, then I'm willing to give something back. My sons are feeling unwell. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fast. Who fasts? You fast? Fidda fasts. Imam Ali fasts. All of you fast, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that this is accepted. They all fasted. Imam al-Hasan had become well. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam had become well. When they all fasted, you all know that suddenly the door was knocked as they're about to break their fast. Who wants the door to be knocking when you're about to break your fast? All of us at that moment, we just want to munch. We want to destroy the meal in front of us. At that moment, what is there? The knock on the door. All of a sudden, a person calls out, oh family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, I am one of the masakeen, I'm needy. If you could give me something. Look at Fidda looking at Fatima. Looking, what is Fatima about? Is there altruism? Is there generosity here? Straight away, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam would say, you are miskeen? No problem. Here, have our meal. The next day, you're about to break your fast. Someone else comes. Who is it? I'm an orphan. No problem. Here, take. The next day, someone comes. I'm a captive, asir. Again, the Quran reveals the ayah in honor of who? In honor of Imam Ali alayhi salam. In honor of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, and in honor of Fidda alayhi salam. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. They give out of love, either for love of Allah according to one opinion, or for love of the food according to another opinion. A miskeen, a yatim, and an asir. When the needy, or the orphan, or the captive comes towards them, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ. Listen to this line in the Quran, Surah 76 verse 8 to 9. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We feed all three of you so that we attain the pleasure of Allah. When that's inculcated in Fidda, then her whole life becomes for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Holding on to the strength that she holds on to after what happens to Ahlul Bayt happens, that can only be someone who's seen certain things in the holy household at a young age. When she's seen this family who are the grandest family in Islam, a family whose salah, without mentioning them, is never complete. A family who are the equal to the Quran. When she sees that this family looks at orphans, captives, needy, she recognizes that they do everything for the pleasure of Allah. This is inculcated in her character. What else? She's there when the incident of the Kisa happens. And the revelation of the ayah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْسَ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. She's there, for example, at the event of Mubahala. So at every juncture, she's alongside Ahlul Bayt, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. She's alongside Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. She witnesses everything that takes place. She then slowly, her ilm grows. And where better training can you get than being in the house of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? When you see Fatima's attachment to the Quran and Fatima's ability to narrate, the way she even narrated after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died with her famous sermon of Fadak, Fidda had seen all of these things. And she also saw what took place to Fatima after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died. Why? Because who was it who saw Fatima when the nail pierced the rib behind the door? Yes. Who is it that heard the cry, Ya Fatima, or Ya Fidda, Asnidini, or Adrakini, O Fidda, come and help me, for I feel that the baby is dying inside me. Imagine you were there at that moment, and Fatima calls you, Ya Fidda, Asnidini, O Fidda, come and help me. How much of a backbone was Fidda alayhi salam to Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, that Fatima al-Zahra calls out Fidda? Someone might ask, why didn't she call out Ya Ali? Not only do we have a tradition about Ya Ali Adrikni, but also at that moment with the miscarriage, there may be certain things female to female. They understand each other with what's happened at that moment. A door being pushed on you when you're pregnant, females are able to talk to each other at that moment. Ya Fidda tu asnidini. Fidda, come, help me, stand alongside me. And she did. Because I tell you, who was it that when Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was dying, they normally mention a couple of names. They mention Bibi Fadla, and they mention who else? They mention alongside Bibi Fadla, Asma bint Umays. These two ladies, they always mention them when it comes to the last moments of the life of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Does not Fatima al-Zahra tell Fadla, Fadla, if they come back, Hassan and Hussein, and they ask for me, give them their food. Tell them their mother is in the other room. If you call upon me, if I answer you, I answer you. If I don't, then know that I have returned to my Lord. That trust that she placed in her is not a normal trust. It's only the trust from a heart to another heart that can contain such amana. When therefore Hassan and Hussein, alayhim as-salam, come into the house, Bibi Fadla is the one who has to maintain the emotional balance at what is the most difficult moment, knowing that she has to tell two children that their mother has died. She knew deep down that Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, the injuries would eventually get to her. So what do you find? You find that when she said, I'll prepare the food for you, what did they reply? Oh, Fadla, when have you known us to eat without our mother Fatima alayhi salam? When have you known us to eat? Have you ever seen us at a certain moment where we have not been delighted to eat with our mother? Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was everything to Hussein, everything to Hassan, everything to Zainab, and everything to Kulthum. Who then becomes the mother? Fadla alayhi salam. Because there's a period where Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam says to Imam Ali, marry my niece, Amama. But also to them, they relate the most to Fadla. Fadla's the one who's been with them. She's seen Zainab grow up. She's seen Imam al-Hassan grow up. Seen Imam al-Hussein grow up. She's seen Kulthum as a young child. Therefore, when she's seen all of them, she becomes a backbone for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali, on the one hand, wanted Lady Fadla to live her life. That he wanted to be done. He wanted to help her get married. As we all know, she got married to Abu Tha'laba. He helped with that marriage. She had children from Abu Tha'laba. Imam Ali looked after everything. Just because you're a servant in our house doesn't mean that we don't look after you in your personal life. No. In your personal life, I'll help you get married. She gets married to Abu Tha'laba. But at the same time, Imam Ali alayhi salam wants her to remain with him wherever he goes. If I'm in Medina, stay with us in Medina. Live your life, but stay near us. If I have a house, for example, number 3, you stay at number 7. If we're at number 50, you stay at number 60. Don't stay too far away. Why? Because each of the members of this household, number 1, respects you. When they see you, they know how much love you have for us and how you are at peace with whoever we are at peace with. And you are at war with whoever we are at war with. And number 3, you have seen their trials. Others cannot empathize with what they've seen. You saw them when their mother died. You saw the difficulty that took place. Stay with us. She stayed with them. And that's why Imam Ali alayhi salam famously said, Allahumma barik lana fi fadlatina. Oh Allah, bring us what? Bring us that prosperity with our fadla. This is without a doubt that blessing with our fadla. Imagine when Imam says, Allahumma barak lana fi fadlatina. When he says such a line, he's saying that this lady fadla is not just a servant. There is knowledge and wisdom inculcated in this lady. This lady has become a source of blessing for us in our life. Even when he left Medina to go towards Kufa, he said, fadla comes with us. And fadla would come with them. And they got Fadla a house a few doors down. And she used to always have the utmost admiration for Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Someone says, where is this shown? This is clearly shown when Ibn Muljam strikes the head of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is hardly ever mentioned. That you know when Ibn Muljam struck the head of Imam Ali alayhi salam, you found that at Kufa at the time, many people had gone and they had captured him. When they captured him, majority of the people who were around were crying, knowing that Imam Ali alayhi salam was in his final moments and he was injured. When the news reached the house of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Fadla, do you know what she did? She picked up a spear. She picked up a spear and she asked, where's Ibn Muljam? Tell me now. They said to her, why? She said, tell me, where's Ibn Muljam? If her African descent narrations are true, in the same way you had the man who killed Hamza throw a spear and finished him, likewise she would be able to throw a spear and defend. She took the spear, and when she went towards Ibn Muljam, she called out, O Ibn Muljam, you have burnt my heart by attacking and killing my master, and you have brought grief on me and the best of families. How dare you do what you do? Allow me to kill him. They had to come and stop her. You know who was amongst the ones who stopped her? Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. Imam al-Hassan said, if you take me as your guardian, I ask you not to come forward. She said, no. How dare he attack my master, Amir al-Mu'mineen? I cannot just sit back and watch him attack my master and I see people crying. I'm crying and my heart is grieving. But you think that's enough for me? I am trained with the spear. I'll finish him right now. Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam had to be the one who calmed her. Otherwise, for Fidda alayhi salam is not just to be seen as a female, therefore she is not someone who can compete or someone who's well-trained. Fidda could get on that battlefield and do a better job than some of those who are famous for running away from battles. She could get on that battlefield and she'd stand alongside the Imam. Therefore, you found that bravery, you could see her. Spirituality, you could see her. But even further than that, what could you see? Fidda, for the last 20 years of her life, from after Imam Ali had died, 40 AH, Fidda died around 63 AH. Let's say from 43 AH till 63 AH, Fidda would only answer you using the Quran. Do you remember from Iran a few years ago, there was that young boy, Taba Tabai. Whenever you ask him a question, he would only answer using the Quran. He would not even talk what our common language is. Every answer he would give would be the answer of the Holy Quran. If you, for example, were a journalist, like some journalist in Saudi, said to him, what do you think of us journalists? He replied, normally me and you would say, you know what, I don't trust you journalists all the time. He would only reply in the Quran. How would he reply? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He would use Surah 49, verse number 6. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu. أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. Oh, you who believe, when an evil person comes to you with news, verify the news. Yes, he would say that to them. Verify the news. He's talking to journalists, but only talking the Quran. People would look and say, what a mu'jiza this child is, that he only replies in the Quran. I ask you a question. Someone who grew up in the house where the Quran was revealed would not be able to reply with the Quran. Someone who replies where Jibra'il used to descend would not reply with the Holy Quran. If Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam and her Mawla are the walking Quran, then what do you expect of Fidda, who grew up in the house of Fatima? And Fidda alayhi salam highlighted to us what? That every lover of Fatima should have the attachment I have to the Quran. What do we mean? When Abdullah bin Mubarak, you know, sometimes they mention his name when he met Bibi Fidda. They don't mention her name because she's too close to Ahlul Bayt. So you remove her name. You said that he just met a lady. Ibn Shahr Ashub mentions that this person, the son of Mubarak, he was on his way seemingly towards the area of Hajj and the place of Mecca. You found that he said, I encountered this lady who was seemingly facing some difficulty in her journey. I came to her and I said, what are you doing here? If you say to me, what am I doing here? How would I reply to you? I wouldn't reply using the Quran. I'll reply by saying, bro, you know what? I'm on my way to Hajj. I'm a bit baffled at the moment. You know, a bit confused. I don't know where to go. But someone who's a student of Fatima and becomes an alima, that person only replies with the Quran. So when he comes, he says, I literally said to her, what are you doing here? She replied, Surah 43, verse number 89. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa qul salam. Fasawfa ya'lamun. First say salamun alaykum at least. I would say, first say salamun alaykum. She doesn't. She uses the Quran. Wa qul salam. Fasawfa ya'lamun. Say salam. And then you will know. He's baffled. You just quoted the Quran to answer me. He's like, okay, I'm sorry. Like, are you heading somewhere? She decided, well, let's use Surah 39, verse 37. من يهدي الله فما له من مضل. Whoever Allah guides, no one can misguide. He said, what's going on? Are you a human or are you a jinn? Answering like this. Surah 7 verse 31. Ya Bani Adam, خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد. Now, son of Adam, I'm one of the children of Adam. He said, okay, so where are you going exactly? She said, Surah 3 verse 97. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. I'm going to Hajj, but only use the Quran. This is Fatima al-Zahra's student, not anyone's student. This is someone who has graduated from Al-Muhammad's university. Al-Muhammad's graduates are all lovers of the Quran. They have an attachment to the Quran. He then said to her, well, how long have you been away from your caravan? Because there's always a kafila going to Hajj and you're alone. And she had to reply using the Quran. So what would you use? Surah 50 verse 38. And for the viewers at home, you can check the verses that I'm giving you, because I could easily give you verses and I'm just saying surah this verse, number this. No, check them. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ 6 days. He said to her, have you come from where have you come from? Like, she said, Surah 41, verse 44. أُولَٰئِكَ يُنَادُونَ مِن مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ. Allah, 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 servant of Al Muhammad, عَالِمَ Fidda alayha salam. This is Fidda, the reality of Fidda, that light of Allah on earth. Then after that, he looked towards her and he said, okay, you must be hungry. You know, you've been away from your caravan for how many days? 6 days. She quoted Surah 21, verse number 8. Wama khalaqnahum wa ja'alnahum jasadan la ya'kuluna at-ta'am. We have not created them as bodies that do not eat food. Of course, I'm hungry. He said, okay, very well. Get on the horse with me, or on the camel with me, and we'll go towards the direction that we're meant to. No, we don't want to go in such directions. There are certain akhlaq that has to be respected between mahramiyya. لو كان فيهما آلهة إلا الله لفسدتا. There'll be fasad if me and you are riding together. Then after that, they continued their journey. As you're about to begin a journey, what do you always hear on Middle Eastern airlines, wherever you're going? The dua of safar, don't you? سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين. In Surah 43, verse number 13. Then he asked that, do you have any children? Now how do we answer? If my children are named baffled names, then I can't quote the Quran. If they're named after some members of the Ahlul Bayt, then you have a point. You can't quote the Quran unless you've used the Quran for your kids' names. So she's got 4 sons. So, but she's got to answer using the Quran. So she says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Child number one, Dawood. Ya wa ma Muhammadun illa Rasul. Muhammad is but a messenger. Child number two, Muhammad. Ya Musa. Child number three is who? Is Musa. And she goes through each of the children, one by one, Dawood, Musa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Shu'aib. She mentions all of the names using the verses. Then from far away, he sees people coming. He's wondering, who are those? She said, Al-mal wal-banoon, zinat al-hayat al-dunya. These are my boys who have come. Your wealth and your children are the zina of this world. Then when she sees them, they're like, Mom, how's everything? This man, has he been okay? She replies the line of who? The daughters of Shu'aib. Ya abati istajir. Inna khayra man istajarta al-qawi al-amin. Oh, my father, give him a wage for and honor him and employ him, for he is someone strong and someone who has been trustworthy as well. He said, thank you very much. And she replied, Allah gives rizq to whoever he pleases. When he was asking, who is she? They said to him, do not be surprised, for she has graduated from Fatima al-Zahra school. That's her servant. Fidda alayhi salam. Fidda was highlighting that, number one, our attachment must be to the Holy Quran. How many of our daughters today have that same attachment? How many are able to quote? Because I see a disparity or a spectrum that's very wide. Either you have some who can quote, 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 or you have some who are not interested. And that fault lies with people like myself. If we, who are imams of mosques or have positions, or scholars in the community, why is it that they're on programs where Quran has become fun, something the Quran enjoyed learning the Quran, different methods where a person wants to memorize the Quran for too many years, our attachment to the Quran is parrot fashion. You read something but you don't understand what you're reading. You can read Yasin every Thursday night. You ask the person, وَإِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهُمْ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. What does it mean? I don't know. But you've read it all your life. Okay, but there's no reflection. That reflection sometimes not the fault of the reader. Fault of the scholars who are not making this interesting. Fidda alayhi salam enjoyed the Quran because she saw the way Ahlul Bayt loved the Quran. And the way Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim used the Quran. Therefore for her, she became a scholar, not just a servant. Although a servant was a huge honor, but she became a scholar. 20 years in a row, she never spoke anything but the Holy Quran. Who could do that? 20 years in a row, can you walk around without using anything but verses on the Quran? I tell you what, if you use the Quran as a dhikr, then without a doubt, it'll be a reminder for you in every situation you face. Every situation you face, the Quran becomes a backbone to you, to your growth and to your spirituality. Therefore, that lady remains with Imam al-Hasan until he dies. And then with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And with Imam al-Hussein, she's seen Imam al-Hussein, the young Imam al-Hussein. She was there when Imam was born until the age of 57. And she says, I want to accompany you to where you're heading right now. Does she accompany him? She doesn't just accompany him. She remains a backbone. And that legacy of hers, of remaining a backbone, having that connection with Allah, remained with her children as well. I remember Shuhra, the daughter of Muska, the daughter of Fidda. This man says, we were on our way towards Hajj. I saw this lady in the middle of nowhere. I'm talking about who? Shuhra, her name was. I saw her in the middle of nowhere. I said to her, excuse me, where are you heading? He goes, all of a sudden, she looked at me. She said, I'm going towards God's house. I said, but you seem baffled and lost. He said, all of a sudden, she raised her hand. I left my house and I am not there anymore. And now I have not reached your house. If it was anyone else, I would have complained about them to you. But now I talk to you to guide me. He said, I looked at her. I couldn't believe the way she said it. She said, I've left my house and nor am I at your house. And if I had been in the hands of anyone else, I would have complained to you about them. But how dare I complain to you? All I ask is for you to guide me. He said, I looked at the spirituality of this lady. Eventually, I get to Tawaf the Kaaba. Who do I see? I see her on that Tawaf. But before I had got to the Kaaba, what happened? The moment she read that dua, suddenly a man came with a camel. He said, here's the camel for you to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house. I asked when I got there, who is she? They said, that is Shuhra, the daughter of Muska, the daughter of Fidda, alayhi salam. Fidda's submission to Al Muhammad, salawatullahi wasalam, became a sadaqa jariya for her children and for her grandchildren. Generation after generation continued that. And that's why one of the ulama of Najaf, Sheikh Yasir, who is there in the Hawza of Najaf, he narrates, he says, my daughter had a tumor in her stomach, 6 centimeter tumor, went to the doctor. He said, this is very problematic for her life. He said, Ya Allah, in the name of the servant of Al Muhammad, Fidda alayhi salam, who saw every trial and every tribulation from Karbala to Kufa to Sham, Ya Allah, this child of mine, I ask you. He said, we went to the doctor, 6 centimeter tumor. He said, you know what? It's gone down 4 centimeters. A couple days later, 2 centimeters. A couple days later, he said, I want to know what you've done. It's completely gone. He said, from that day, I advise people, whenever there is a haja, you have hajat, you have a manna, you have a nidhar, ask Allah through the lady who saw Karbala and Kufa and Sham. Because that lady, my dear brothers and sisters, what she saw, none of us would see. That lady hung in there. What did she see? She was the one who had seen the beheading of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And she had seen Abu al-Fadl when he heard al-Atash, al-Atash. And she saw his altruism. But then what else did she see? She saw the heads paraded on spears. Karbala was not the end. It was the beginning of the chapter of the oppression against Al-Muhammad. Because when they went towards Kufa, She was part of that journey where they had people, in some cases, cry for them, in other cases, laugh at them. Taken into the court of Ibn Ziyad, she was there. But then in Sham, she had to become a backbone to Zainab alayhi salam, and to Ruqayya, and to Sukaina, and to the others of Al Muhammad. There were nights when they would try to sleep, Fadda would try to remain awake for them. But one particular incident had broken Fadda alayhi salam, no doubt. Which incident? You found that the incident when Yazid was coming to attack Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam. On a night like this in Sham, while Sayyida Zainab was there, because she had been outspoken against Yazid, you found that Yazid was coming to attack Sayyida Zainab. All of a sudden, Fadda stood up. Fadda had seen there were some African slaves near Yazid. And she called out to them, "You are from Africa, the way I am. And you stand there and watch a man come to slap the granddaughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. How dare you?" They said to her, "Stay quiet." She said, "I will not. You come and want to attack the granddaughter of the man who brought this religion. And you people from my country, from Africa, are standing there watching? How dare you stand there and watch?" Suddenly, according to some, there was a revolt by the African slaves in Yazid's palace. That the Africans were like, "Hold on, this lady is from Africa. We're from Africa. She's just made a complaint about what has happened to the granddaughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi." At that moment, you found that some of them began to revolt against Yazid. Because for Fadda, "You touch Zainab, you've touched me. And you touch Zainab, then you've touched Fatima. If you've touched Zainab, then you have hurt Hussein. For her, she would never allow anyone to hurt Al-Muhammad in that way." And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, for Fadda, these moments were difficult, no doubt. Seeing Ruqayya dying in front of her in Sham, that broke her heart. Seeing, for example, the heads paraded, that broke her. Seeing Zain al-Abidin with people cursing him, that broke her as well. But something in particular broke her more than anything else. What was it? Something in particular got to her. What was it? She was there at the martyrdom of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. She was there. When she was there at the martyrdom of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, she had seen a number of things. She never expected to see or hear them ever again. At the martyrdom of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, she heard someone who said, "Gather the fire and burn the house." She remembered that day vividly when the fire enveloped the house of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Until today, nobody knows where the grave of Fatima is. Ask any Muslim, where is the grave of Zahra? Nobody knows. Is it something logical that the daughter of the man who brought the religion, 1,400 years later, no Muslim knows where she's buried? Why was she buried secretly in the night? Fadda had seen the burning. She never expected to see the burning again. Fadda had seen a baby die in front of her. Al-Muhsin or Al-Muhassin. She never expected that day to ever come again. That another baby would die in front of her. Fadda had seen a rib broken in front of her in Medina. She never expected to see another rib broken ever like that again. Fadda had seen a slap towards the face of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. She never expected to see that again. Fadda had also heard Fatima saying, "Ya Fiddatu adrikini, ya Fiddatu asnidini." She never expected to see that again. Matin shaman kufan karbala, she saw all of them one by one come back to haunt her again. If in Medina she saw a house on fire, then on Shama Gharima she saw the tents of the daughters of Rasulullah on fire. If in Medina she saw the rib of Zahra broken, she saw the horses trample on the rib of the son of Zahra. If in Medina she saw a baby, killed, then in Karbala she saw a number number of babies dying in front of her. Only Allah knows the sabr of Rabab when she saw the arrow tear into the neck of her six-month-old baby. If in Medina she saw a slap on the face of Fatima, then come to Karbala and Kufa, but come to Sham and see the slaps on the faces of the daughters of Rasulullah. One of them calling out, Amma Fidda, why are they throwing stones at us? Another of them calling out, Amma Fidda, why are they staring at us? Another calling out, Amma Fidda, why do they kick us? But in Medina she heard, Ya Fidda Adrikini. She never expected to hear that line again until Zainab, when she looked towards Fidda, she knew the same way her mother called out, Help me, the same way Zainab looked towards Fidda. But this time, what was the difference? What happened with Zainab? They kicked Zainab and they slapped her and they attacked her from every angle, and her hijab they took off her. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون واللعنة الدائمة على القوم الظالمين. يا الله grant us the شفاعة of Fidda alayhi salam. Ya Allah, allow us to visit the shrine of Fidda in Damascus and allow us to be amongst the followers of Muhammad and Al Muhammad. There are some of our brothers and sisters who are feeling unwell in these difficult times with COVID. Let us all come together with our dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the famous ayah, Amman yujibul muzhtar idha da'ah wa yakshif as-su'. Amman yujibul المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. All of us together, wherever you are in the world, raise your hands. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Surah Al-Fatiha in honor of all of our marhumin, and we welcome Mulla Muhammad Abbas Kareem with a salawat wherever you may be.